strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage. Presented by Santan Ford.
A touchdown for David Johnson, my goodness! Pressure from the Badger, and Badger don't care! Pitch to Fitz, running straight ahead, into the end zone, the shovel pass for the touchdown of the win!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944. Visit us online at hickmanseggs.com.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From University of Phoenix Stadium.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
And Ron Wolfley.
Red Sea, you got to be feeling it right now.
Unleash the fury!
Oh, man, do I enjoy hearing that right there, right now, because it ain't football season until we're talking football. Oh, talking yeah. Football on the Big Red Rage. Let that wash over you, Ron Wolfley. It is season number 17, show number 350.
That's amazing. That really is, Bully. How many have you been involved in? Do you have the number in front of you, Paul?
How many times have I told you? Do not ask me a question unless you know that I'm certain of
yes.
the answer.
Right.
Season 17 kicks off the 2017 season here at University of Phoenix Stadium. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and we are moments away from unveiling the name. A big name. A new name. As the player host of the Big Red Rage, Wolf, you're still on a need-to-know basis.
Yeah,
so you have to
Paul.
Remain patient over there.
Yes, okay, I appreciate
but
that.
But I think you're going to be pleased. I think we're going to exceed expectations, perhaps even, when you hear the insight from this year's player host.
Let me just give you a little bit of a hint here, Basinonians. Let me just say that I think there's going to be a lot of fan participation this year. Let's put it that way. Fan participation. That's all I'm going to say right there, Paul. Okay. That's just a little tease, as we call it.
What do you say about Cardinals camp? Almost a week in. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? What are you sensing for folks who haven't been able to make it out here and see it? I mean, be their eyes. What should they know?
Let me just say this. I do believe the first 3 days of pads has been everything that Bruce Arians wants. It's been very, very physical. They had a couple of run, pass, team drills that they ran today where they work across the field, not going up and down the field, but across the field because they really want to get a tight shot. It's more traditionally referred to as 9-on-7, but there's one big problem. You can't call it 9-on-7 because there's 11 offensive players and 11 defenders. So you can't call it 9-on-7. That's the way it used to be. It didn't have a secondary. You'd have one safety. You'd have the front seven, of course, and then you'd have a quarterback and you'd have two backs and a tight end, and you'd run the ball. And it'd be an inside drill. That's later what they referred to it as an inside drill. But the Arizona Cardinals had a great 11-on-11. That's team run pass, meaning they could run the ball or they could pass the ball today. That drill they've done every day in pads. And it is a great drill, number one. And I think Bruce Arians has got this offense off to a good start.
BA promised a more physical camp. Can we check that box?
Yeah, check the box. It's been more physical. They actually did, as a matter of fact, day two of practice in pads, they did back-on-backer, blitz pickup. Now, they did it in a very, very creative kind of way where they actually pulled the Mike Zimmer double A-gap mug where they had the linebackers standing up in the A-gap with a roll-off corner coming off the edge, and they had the center and the back working in unison. Based on the protection, whether it was a slide protection or a gap protection or a base protection, you don't have to know what that means, but it tells the center to do something different in all of those protections, and it tells the running back to adjust to what the center is doing as well. So it was a great drill with great work and really applicable because everyone looks at the Mike Zimmer A-gap blow.
I would say that the intensity in this camp already exceeds last year. I would say the attention to detail already exceeds a year ago. BA sent a message before this camp started. Guys have responded. Unless you're a handful of guys who get a Veterans Day off here and there, you're not safe. They are looking for guys on the street. there is a fight to make this team. Yeah. Whereas last year, the focus was almost on the postseason. Fight for playoff positioning.
Yes.
There is nothing assumed this year.
No. That is the biggest difference of all, night and day.
And we know one thing. No matter what sort of team, roster, season you're looking at, no QB, no chance. And if that QB has no O-line, he has no chance. We'll talk about that next, because that is the absolute linchpin upon which this season rides. It is the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Oh, my goodness. You've got to be kidding me, Carson Palmer. What a throw by Carson Palmer.
What a great touch pass by Carson Palmer.
Just watch Carson Palmer go to work right here.
Man, I'll tell you, Carson Palmer, operator.
Not a lot of believers nationally in Carson Palmer. If they were here at University of Phoenix Stadium over the past week, I think they'd be apt to change their mind. That's just my opinion over here. Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley. Agree or disagree on how Carson looks so far?
No, I would agree. I think he looks great, Paulie. Why? I mean, what are your observations?
Nationally, I think most people have concluded, based on last season, that the window has already closed on Carson Palmer, and that there is very little chance of him having an above-average season or beyond, and replicating or anywhere close to replicating what he did in 2015.
See, I think the problem is, Paulie, of course, nationally, the narrative is what on Carson Palmer? Oh, you can't win the big one. That's what it comes down to, right? He's got to do better in the playoffs. He can't win the big game. And suddenly it becomes all about that, as opposed to how he's playing quarterback in the National Football League during regular season games. I agree. At some point in time, Carson is going to have to win big games in the postseason and win the quote-unquote big one for him to get that monkey, I think, off his back. I think he's acknowledged that as much. So, again, when the narrative says that nationally, everyone doesn't really care. They don't pay attention to what you're doing until you're in the big one and you win the big one. And it's unfair.
Think of what we learned since the end of last season when it comes to Carson Palmer. And by the way, we'll have the big reveal here on the Big Red Rage coming up shortly, all right, the brand new player host. But there's no player more important to the Cardinals' future and their fortunes than Carson Palmer. And since last season ended, we've learned from BA that, you know what, Carson went into last season with an arm that was tired, that he threw too much leading up to training camp.
Right.
And then that training camp carried over into September, and it really wasn't until he started reducing some of the reps during the Wednesday practices and getting the bye week that he returned to the arm strength that he previously had. Well, we learned on day number one of camp when the Cardinals reported, in fact, I was talking with David Johnson, I asked him about his throwing sessions in San Diego, and he said, funny story, because, and he showed his hand, and he had stitches in his pinky finger.
Yeah.
From a ball thrown by Carson Palmer, a heater.
Yes.
And he said, this proves that he has some zip on the football again.
You're talking about a guy in David Johnson that has immaculate ball skills. You're talking about a guy that catches the ball and could do it in his sleep. For him to tear something on his finger, his hand, while he's trying to catch a ball is, wow. I mean, it just doesn't happen with him.
It's been a very calculated process of getting Carson Palmer at 37 years of age to A, you know, reduce some of his routine, you know, B, buy in, and then monitor everything, every single rep. In fact, he didn't go in a lot of the OTAs, and, you know, and he only went in two out of three mini camp practices, and that has continued at a Veterans Day off here today. As the Cardinals, you know, you invest in players, not just in the payroll, you invest in more ways than one, and Carson talked about that today.
They've invested heavily in recovery mechanisms and done a ton of stuff. Michael's done a ton of stuff for us because he thinks it might give us an edge. And there's technology behind it. There's a lot of research. There's a lot of things he's put around us to help us with that. So I'm all in on that stuff. I'll take all the recovery I can get.
I sense an edge with Carson Palmer as well, and I think it's trickled down to the rest of the guys on offense, including the weapons. And you know what? Speaking of the weapons, Wolf, I mean, if you're looking for a big headline so far, the return of John Brown far, right? I mean, Carson himself today praised John Brown and what he looks like, says, yes, you can call him Smoke again, and then he called him the X Factor. Larry's going to get his attention. David Johnson's going to get doubled. He called John Brown the X Factor.
Yeah, you know, honestly, from an analyst perspective such as myself, Paulie, I've been talking about John Brown the entire offseason because he is the pass apart too, the key that unlocks all locks for the Arizona Cardinals offense. If you tell me that John Brown is going to be John Brown once again, now all of a sudden you got a guy who can just line up and run right by somebody. And the interesting thing about that is the fact that the defensive coordinator knows that you've got a guy that can line up and just run right by you. And the nickel corner, or the number two corner, or the number one corner, whomever it may be that lines up on John Brown, knows he can run right by me if I'm not careful, right? So suddenly you've got not only on the strategic level where a defensive coordinator is going to say, hey, guys, you look out for John Brown because this guy right here, he can run by you, but also on the tactical level, the level that says how you're going to guard and how you're going to cover John Brown. That DB knows this guy can run right by me. And suddenly what happens? They step back. They loosen up. It's called human nature. And now all of a sudden you got John Brown running the post over the top. You've got a free safety that's heard his defensive coordinator all week say, this guy will run right by you. You better not get beat over the top. So he's really deep in the middle of the field. And the cornerback that is on John Brown as well, guarding the post over the top, he's running with him as fast as he can. And now here comes the dig at about 17 yards. And it's Larry Fitzgerald, the grandmaster guru sensei of the dig, the deep in route underneath that post. That's what it does for a guy like Fitz to have John Brown in there.
None of that happens unless the O-line is giving ample pass protection. And there was a stat from last year, and I don't have it in front of me, but I'll boil it down. It's real simple. When Carson Palmer was getting hit and harassed and pressured and sacked, his numbers were very pedestrian. Those are the numbers I think the national media is looking at. When he was getting protection and had average time to throw, his numbers were excellent. So it brings us to the question of the offensive line and where Carson is at in that department.
With all the injuries we had last year, it's kind of built good depth this year. You know, we've got two or three guys that are on our second group that started some games, and really like the way Mikey Potty looks at 327 instead of 347. The whole group, they had a great offseason. They were in there almost every day together, lifting and then watching film from February on. So that group, I have a lot of confidence in.
All right, there you go. Bruce Arians on the Cardinals offensive line. And today it was minus Jared Valdir. You had John Wetzel in there running first and second team. Otherwise, it's the same names and faces. They're just guys, you know, changing some of the positions. I know when it comes to the offensive line, you've been bullish on what you've seen from Evan Bame, right?
No doubt about it. Look, I think there are two positions on that offensive line of import. I think the right guard position right now that is up for grabs, even though it appears as though Evan Bame has solidified the right guard position. We're really not going to know that, Paulie, until the games start, the preseason games, and how he's going to play with live action. And then left tackle, right guard and left tackle. And DJ Humphreys, of course, taking over at left tackle. So far, I like what I see from DJ. I love his competitiveness. This is a kid that wants to be good. And not only that, Paul, he's got a little something coming out of the side of his neck.
He'll fight you.
He'll fight you. And I love that, especially from an offensive lineman. So protection, to your point, is going to be key for Carson Palmer. But you know what, Paulie? You could say that about any quarterback
sure.
in the NFL.
Yeah,
you
got to
protect him.
With each passing touchdown this season, in fact, Wells Fargo is going to donate money to the local public schools through the Passing Touchdowns for Schools program. Wells Fargo, together, will go far. Well, we hope we can say the same with our new player host this season on the Big Red Rage. All right, we'll be joined next. The big reveal on the Big Red Rage. Who might it be with his name and lights across the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert? We are Santan Ford.
Gets the pass away up the middle, and it's picked off at the 20-yard line. Dansby makes the interception.
It didn't take long for the filthy bird to fall in a mud puddle, did it?
And it's an end around to McDonald, and Dansby not fooled. He's got McDonald back at the 40. McDonald fumbled the ball, and the Cardinals pick it up.
Wow, Carlos Dansby out of nowhere, swooping down with a little filth and making the play.
Looking deep over the middle. Intercepted. It's Dansby again. Go, Carlos, go.
Carlos Dansby is the quintessential playmaker.
All right, and considering that's just a few of the monumental moments in the career of this next guy, I am guessing that everyone has guessed, Ron Wolfley, the name of our new host.
Really?
And there's no doubt it is a big name.
It's a huge name, Paul.
Big name in the recent history of the Big Red. Ladies and gentlemen, listeners and followers, the Bird Gang gone global, the new name, face, and voice of the Big Red Rage, Carlos Dansby, everybody.
Yeah, man. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Los Dirty.
Yes, sir. I'm in the building, man. In the building. I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed, man. I'm on the stage with you guys. You know what I'm saying?
Right now, how does this feel? I mean, this is it. You've seen guys before.
Right.
You mean, okay, 14 years, of course. You've played a long time with the Arizona Cardinals. You've seen a lot of guys be the host of Big Red Rage.
Yes, sir.
How do you feel about this right now, Los?
Oh, man, it's a long time coming. You know what I'm saying? I had to wait my time. You know what I'm saying? I had to be patient. And good things come to those who wait. You know what I'm saying? So this is a great thing. The atmosphere is perfect. The timing is perfect. It couldn't get no better than this.
Well, if you've been scoring at home over the last two decades, Jim Omohundro broke this down for us. Kwame Lassiter, Anquan Boldin, Dexter Jackson, and Freddie Jones, Bertrand Berry, a long run, Adrian Wilson, Kerry Rhodes, Calais Campbell, a long run, and now Carlos Dansby. Your third stint with the team, by the way.
Yes, sir.
Is it home already? Was it home the instant you got home?
It was home back in 04 when I first came in. You know, that's when it was home. I knew it was real. Danny Green and his crew, Mr. Bidwell, and the pass down, you know what I'm saying, to Mike. It's home. You know, these guys know me well. I know them well. And I know what their expectations are, and I'm just trying to supersede them.
Los, this is going to be year 14 for you. That is a long time.
Right.
And that is a long time to play the blood sport, right?
Uh-huh.
How many more years do you want to play?
Hey, man, as long as my body, you know, allow me. And God give me this favor that he's showing me right now, man. I'm going to keep rocking, you know what I'm saying? Because this is my purpose. Like I said, 14 years. It don't happen.
Coming into this season saying, this is it. This is my last year.
No.
You're going to keep it wide open.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I love that.
Yes, sir.
Man.
Yes, sir.
And then you do it the next year.
Why not?
Why not? Wolf, you're badgering our witness here. He just led Cincinnati in tackles last year with, what, 114 tackles?
First of all, you don't have to tell me that.
Hold on. I only played 60% of the plays. Let's get down to stood.
Okay, first of all,
I'm going to play 60% of the plays.
How are we going to get you 61% here? How are we going
to
get that?
I'm trying to play 90, 95.
Are you trying to? On that note, it's a serious.
I'm not trying to come off the field.
It's a serious thing, okay?
Yes.
Are you talking to the coaches about this? Because at some point in time, Los, you've got to acknowledge the fact you've been in the league for 14 years, man.
Hey, man.
That's a 14-year body right there. What if we can get 60% out of you all 16 games as opposed to maybe 90% in 9 games? You hear what I'm saying?
Man, no. It's 90%. 16 games. I'm trying to give you 95, 16 games. That's what I'm trying to do.
You still think that you're that guy?
That's the way I train. That's my mindset. I'm training to make every play. So when the plays come, I need to make them, period. That's just my mindset. That's how I've always been. That's what it always will be. You know.
To what degree are you playing this game right now here in 2017 with your mind? Just superior knowledge as a veteran?
Man, I can't give away my secrets, man. I can't give away my secrets, you know what I'm saying?
It's like the prestige ball.
Yeah, I can't give away all my secrets, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to pass some of the stuff down to some of these guys. Then when I'm done, then I give them the rest of it. But I have to spoon feed these young guys, man, because the game is fast. You know what I'm saying? They have to be able to be a sponge. That's all I want them to do is be a sponge, man. Soak it all up. And when your time comes, then you use it. You know what I'm saying? Just squeeze the sponge and just let it run.
Do you have a favorite big play that has happened in your career as an Arizona Cardinal? Do you have a favorite one? Because, Los, when I think of you, I think of all the dirty birds we've seen some incredible plays by you. Is there one that it just speaks to you a little bit more than the other?
Wow, you know, Wolf, why are you going to put me on the spot like that, you know, man?
There's got to be one that you just – it hangs in the air, right?
It's got to be the 2009 Green Bay playoff win right here stadium.
Come on, that was not only
the game winner, but you had a hand in all three of those turnovers the Cardinals defense forced.
Yes, my fault. Yeah, that game right there stands out by far. Man, it's just – I had a chance to just play against so many legends in the game – and just all the opportunities that I had to play against all these guys. It's just so many plays. It's just running in my head right now. I'm thinking about, but that game,
yeah,
that's probably my best game ever.
What's your weight at right now?
Right now I'm at 242.
242.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that normal for you?
I'll be down to 235.
About 235, somewhere in there. That's once you get going.
Once I get going.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a concern to you? Because you're going to be playing a lot of Mike, and I know that you've been playing a lot of Mike later on in your career. You were that weak side inside for a long, long time, right?
Yes,
so
sir.
Are you worried about carrying weight at all?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. I could be 231 and still play Mike. I've done it before. I've done it in Cleveland.
Did in Miami as well,
did
right?
Did in Miami as well. Got down to 237 in Miami, 231 down in Cleveland. So, like I said, man, I'm just trying to get better, man. As I get older, I'm just trying to get better, man. That's it. That's
you
it.
You have.
What's remarkable, if memory serves, you went into Auburn as a receiver?
As a receiver. Yes, sir. As a receiver.
It's crazy.
I was 186 pounds, man. University of Alabama wanted me to play linebacker. I told them no. I just don't see myself playing in the SEC as a linebacker. And I get down there with Tuberville. He told me to come on and play receiver, and it just took 2 days and 2 days. And he was like, look, you're just too aggressive. I need you on the other side of the ball. And I had to sit out a year, so – I was playing scout team defense end against Kendall Simmons at the time. He was ranked like the number one tackle in the nation at that time. So he taught me all about the speed of the game in the SEC, what it's going to take to, you know what I'm saying, the work ethic. Because I'm going against this man every day. He was killing me every day at defense end. And then they moved me to strong safety. I end up having 6 interceptions. Go to the ESPY Awards. Lose to I want to say it's Derek Jeter with the tap out at the home plate. I lost. So they didn't even have a they that played them when I caught the ball and threw it back in.
Right.
They said they didn't even have a category for this.
Sweet.
Play. They didn't have a category for that.
That was against the A's in the playoff. The old Derek Jeter relay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So Derek Jeter tagged the guy out.
Right.
So he wins the ESPY. I'm mad. I'm at the ESPY. And they tell me, they said, well, we just want you to come out. We don't have a category for your play. And we just want you to come out and enjoy the festivities. I said, okay, cool. Awesome. So I got a chance to go to Hollywood at a young age, man. It was a blessing, man.
Now Wolfie has 19 career interceptions, and I bring that up because with one more, he becomes the fifth player in NFL history with at least 40 career sacks and 20 career interceptions.
Wow.
You want some of the names that you've picked off in your career?
Go ahead.
You've intercepted Brett Favre.
Wow.
Big Ben.
Wow.
Eli and Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Newton. Andrew Luck. Russell Wilson, and even Carson Palmer. Those are just a few of the quarterbacks that you picked off in your career.
That's awesome, man. See, but the crazy stat out of all that is I'm the only guy in NFL history to pick off both Manning brothers for pick sixes.
For pick sixes.
The Dirty Bird came out
pick
of that
sixes.
One. Out
yeah, nobody else know that, man. It's just a little, you know, a little trivia question. There it is.
That's awesome. Look, Hassan Reddick.
Yes, sir.
Weak side inside.
Mm-hmm.
Playing beside you. Where's he got to pick it up, in your opinion?
He's just got to slow the game down. He got to find a way to slow the game down.
So he's thinking too much right now, you would say?
I say he's thinking too much right now. He just got to slow it down. Just slow the game down. I'm going to help him with that as much as I possibly can, as far as like telling him what things are coming, remind him of certain gaps to be in. Just try to slow the game down. Because if I can slow the game down for him, he going to play just that much faster.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He run a fast 40, but if you out there thinking, he's going to slow you down.
How vocal are you in that linebacker room?
Oh,
are you in some of these young guys' faces? You talking to them at all, or are you just kind of going to kick back and let it see how it goes?
I'm going to let it play out. I'm going to let it play out so these guys can really – I want them to get the experience. And once they see it for themselves on film, then they be like, oh, okay, that's what you was talking about. That's what I'm talking about. So now you had a chance to experience it from the bad side. Now the next time you get that play, now you're able to make that play. Prime example, Scoop Wright. We was watching film. I said, Scoop, I said, once the tight end come under you, the dig is coming from the same side. He's going to. Man, Scoop had jumped the dig and let his man just go. I'm like, Scoop, you got to check your guy first, though. This is your man. You can't do it in every defense. I know you know the play is coming. He said, Lopes, I was on it. I said, yeah, you was on it. But your guy's still running free. You can't do that, man. You got to, you know, play your role, and that's the next man's play. You know what I'm saying? You just got to pull him along and let him know that you recognize what's going on, and that's how you make the team better. Make sure the guy next to you knows exactly the things you know. You know?
A playmaker and a leader. The Cardinals' second-round pick, 2004. First player in team history with 3 different stints with the Arizona Cardinals. We figure it was the second most exciting call he got this offseason. first GM Steve Keim. Yeah. The next was Jim Omohundro to be the host of the Big Red Rage.
Big Red Rage. Yes.
You mentioned you were one interception away from being a legend. May we add your one interception and one radio show away from being a true legend, Carlos Dansby.
Hey, man, the radio show is the icing on the cake. I think it's the icing on the cake, man.
And for the record, Lowe's Dirty said, long overdue.
Long overdue, man. Long overdue, man. It's time, though. It's I was being patient. Everybody was being patient.
I love it, man.
So it's just perfect time.
Good
perfect
stuff.
Timing.
And we know you have the pull in the locker room to bring in the big guests, right?
That's my goal. That's my goal. Get the guys in here. I want to hear from their perspective. You know, so I want to hear the game from their eyes and their perspective, because that means a lot to the future of the game. And, you know what I'm saying, just to share how they process everything.
Well, the season premiere is going to be September 7th. You can see Carlos in person at Marley's.
Awesome.
We're going to be off and rolling. So, once again, great to have you on board, Carlos.
Oh, man, I'm blessed to be on, man. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, Los.
Carlos Dansby, our new host of the Big Red Rage, will continue from University of Phoenix Stadium and Cardinals Camp 2017 right after this. Shotgun snap. Goff is going to get hit at the 20 and sacked by Golden. Golden got to him. Golden already in double figures in sacks. Goff back to pass on third and long. Instead, he is sacked by Marcus Golden.
The junkyard dog got a treat.
Goff and shotgun has the football. Seven-step drop, has time. Steps up and gets hit and sacked. Marcus Golden, another sack.
12 and a half sacks in 2016, third in the NFL for Marcus Golden, and a Cardinals defense went from 20th in that category to number one overall. It is the Big Red Rage, and as we just found out, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and this season we will be joined by Carlos Dansby.
That's awesome.
All I know is I was smiling the entire time we were talking with Carlos Dansby. He just has this infectious personality.
Yeah.
A certain energy about him. He loves the game, obviously, in his 14th season. He loves to talk about the game. I mean, you know, you heard him. In fact, you quoted him. It's been a long time coming. He's looking forward to the show. And as he added, this is going to be the hashtag. The hashtag is going to be, it's a beautiful thing. That was his other assessment.
Right.
It's a beautiful thing.
The thing I love about Carlos Dansby is, first of all, you're talking about a supremely confident individual, but he never means it in a malicious kind of way.
No.
He just states it. As a matter of fact, it's been a long time coming. You could tell he was saying that totally tongue-in-cheek, but one could build a case and say, you're right, Los, but three's a charm, isn't it, Carlos? And, man, I'm just really excited that Carlos Dansby is going to be the host of the Big Red Rage all season long, and I expect him to come in here and have a great season.
If you told me, for example, with Hassan Reddick having to fill in for Deion Buchanan right now, right, the dollar linebacker spot,
yes,
Hassan Reddick making a position change, Hassan Reddick a rookie, right, Hassan Reddick now, you know, with everything that you have to go ahead and comprehend in the playbook, honestly, I'd give him little to no chance if it wasn't for Carlos Dansby. But the fact that Los is right next to him and is able to impart all that knowledge and has been doing it on a daily basis from the moment that they made the draft pick,
nothing he has not seen, Paul.
How can you not gauge the impact on the young guy, Hassan Reddick?
Yeah, no, it's absolutely huge that Carlos Dansby is going to be lined up inside, and he's going to be able to impart that information to Hassan Reddick. And not only that, to teach him to be the mic as well, because you know that James Betcher and the Cardinals, ultimately, they want Hassan Reddick to play mic and the weak side inside, right? So now they've got options as to what to do. Maybe they could go ahead and come up with a personnel package that might spot Carlos Dansby, take the dirty bird off the field, right? And suddenly you've got Hassan Reddick and Deion Buchanan comes in as the weak side inside. So you know that James Betcher and the Cardinals want to be able to change it up with the personnel that they have on the defensive side of the ball. But let me just say this. My number one takeaway from talking to Carlos Dansby is the fact that this is year 14. Year 14 for him, and yet did you feel the exuberance? Did you feel the energy coming from this guy? This is not some tired old veteran. This is a guy that is really, really charged up about being back here for the third time, and you can just feel the energy coming from him. This is a guy that's not looking to retire, and it's year 14.
it's an interesting mix on defense. You have the super veterans like Carlos Dansby and Antoine Bethea, a Corey Peters, right? Then you have guys in the prime of their Pro Bowl careers like a Patrick Peterson. You have guys who are trying to prove themselves, a Justin Bethel, a Robert Kindici.
Yes.
You know, yeah, you have another guy just, you know, signed the big contract and is poised to really break out, and a Chandler Jones who's already asserting more leadership. We've seen how much more confident and comfortable he is. And then you have someone, an up-and-comer, who still has a huge ceiling, we think, and that would be Marcus Golden. In fact, BA gave a bit of a scouting report on where he thinks Marcus Golden has improved and where he's going.
Getting much better technique, much better assignment-wise. Still, he still plays with that relentless energy, and that's his forte. He's getting a couple of more moves in his toolbox as far as a pass rusher.
Does anybody have a bigger motor than Marcus Golden?
No. Boy, did Steve Keim nail that. Steve Keim and his staff in the front office nailed the pick with Marcus Golden. Taken in the second round. You got to remember, Shane Ray was on the other side of that ball at Mizzou. And he was taken in the first round, right? And everyone was talking about Shane Ray. And yet the Cardinals looked at it and said, who's this kid? Who's the kid opposite of Shane Ray that keeps flashing here? And that was Marcus Golden. And Marcus is only going to get better and better and better. You can see it down here, Paulie. I don't know if you've noticed in the first three practices. This is an extremely confident Marcus Golden. And you could just see him starting to blossom. Not only in his moves, but how definitive his moves are, and also in his attitude. He's doing a lot of talking out there defensively to his guys and, in some cases, to the offense.
There's a reason that he earned the nickname Junkyard Dog, and they call him Junk.
Yes.
That's the way he plays. He's already got into it a few times with DJ Humphreys, right? I mean, he just has that attitude the Cardinals are looking for on defense. The attitude that Bruce Arians, coming out of minicamp, told the team in a team meeting in the bubble. He said, I need more dogs on this team.
Yes.
That's what he said, especially on special teams. But on defense, and you look at that defensive line, minus our longtime host of the Big Red Rage, Calais Campbell, who got the big money in Jacksonville. Give us a quick assessment on where you think the D-line is right now.
Boy, I'll tell you what, Paulie. I think the defensive line is still as strong a room as they have on this team. The wide receiver room is very, very deep. There's no doubt about that. I would say the running back room, I like the running back room a lot. But, man, the defensive line, I don't know if there is a deeper room on the team than defensive line, and it's because of guys like Rodney Gunter. I would start there, because Rodney Gunter, nobody talks about Rodney Gunter, and he may have had a bit of a down year last year, but Rodney Gunter is a guy that I think is going to be a 12-year pro. He's a guy that's probably going to start maybe 10 of those years at some point. I think this year I expect big things out of him. Corey Peters, you already talked about him. There's nobody more underrated on the defensive line than Corey Peters on the nose. And then you're talking about other guys that are starting to blossom. Robert Kimdichie, I don't know if you've noticed, Paulie, but through three practices right now, if there's one guy that has caught my eye, and he did it again here today, in one-on-one pass rush, if there's one guy, it's 9-0. It's Robert Kimdichie. And if you tell me Kimdichie steps up and plays up to his potential, I'll tell you right now, Paulie, he's going to be a massive disruptor.
We had a chance to visit with Robert Kimdichie after practice today, first time he'd met the media here this season. And it was revealing. You know, he confirmed, I asked him something that he had sort of mentioned the end of last season, and I said, is it accurate to say that you realized finally, you had an epiphany that little things are big things in the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
He said, absolutely. That was maybe his breakthrough moment last year. He'd spent his entire career as the biggest, strongest, fastest. He didn't need to worry about those details.
Yes.
He realizes now how critical that is, and he is a different player out there.
You got guys like Frosty Rucker out there. You got Olson Pierre out there as well, right? You got Xavier Williams. He's developing very, very well. Seen him make some plays over the last 3 days in pads as well. You got a lot of guys that are going to be contributors on that D-line.
Hey, subscribe to the Arizona Cardinals podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. Listen to your favorite shows on the go. You know, like Cardinals Underground, the Cardinals Red Sea Report, and of course, the Big Red Rage, which is back right after this.
Caught for a touchdown by John Brown. Caught on the goal line, and it's a touchdown for John Brown. Palmer fires deep middle in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown, John Brown!
Skinny player, skinny post.
It is caught by John Brown of the five, spins out of a tackle and into the end zone for the touchdown.
That's the John Brown we remember, not the John Brown from 2016.
Amen.
And I think we all realized he was not John Brown when he revealed at the end of last season that he went to an amusement park with his daughter and he got winded. He got tired. He had a cyst removed from his lower back. He had other illnesses he was dealing with. Maybe the most refreshing thing to see here at Cardinals Camp 2017 has been a healthy John Brown. And once again, he has earned that nickname, Smoke. There is no doubt about it. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. We will have Carlos Dansby on board this season as our player host. We heard from Los a little bit earlier. But John Brown has made himself known each and every practice out here. Today, he happened to leave late in the practice, walked off under his own power. We'll get an update on that tomorrow from Bruce Arians. But I had a chance to sit down one-on-one with Patrick Peterson today and just talk about how impressed he is with number 12, John Brown. And you know what, Wolf, we're just going to go right to Carson Palmer because he was asked if he sees that difference.
Yeah, about 180-degree difference. He's stronger. He looks faster. He looks like what we're used to seeing. He looks powerful in and out of his breaks. He's catching the ball really strong. He's competing against Pat all the time, and I've been throwing it his way a bunch. Yeah, I mean, he's the X factor of the offense.
Big words there. So, look, we know when it comes to the wide receivers, Larry is number one. What do we know after that? What exactly? You know, how's it going to break down in the receiver room after
John Brown's going to be number two.
Okay.
John Brown's going to be number two. I think we could – let's start right there. John Brown is having a great camp, in my opinion, Bully. It's interesting because I went ahead, I took notes today, and I would say today might have been his best practice that I've seen so far. And the other two have not been bad. I'm talking about full pads practice here. I wrote down on my notes, John Brown on a trail blitz beat Justin Bethel over the top, and he was overthrown by Drew Stanton. But it was a great route by John Brown over the top during blitz period. And then during team, where you got 11 on 11, right? And they're going up and down the field, and they're working situationally. Down in distance, of course, right? Working actually working within quarters and timeouts, things of that nature. In team, the first play of team, John Brown ran a corner route for a touchdown. Beat Justin Bethel again over the top, right? And J-Butt couldn't find the ball when he turned around, but John Brown did find it for a touchdown. Probably, I want to say, 35-yard touchdown on the corner route. He's making plays again, and you can see the burst, and you can see the finish on these plays.
You know, you rarely see a reaction from Steve Keim, the GM, who watches every snap of practice, but on that play, on that touchdown,
you know what I'm talking
he
about.
Nodded and sort of gave a half a smile.
Yeah.
So refreshing to see John Brown, who was back.
It's just so important. It really is, because, again, you got Larry Fitzgerald, who is a grandmaster guru sensei with running the routes. You know, he's got a great nuance in feel for the game. And John Brown, of course, is just a guy who can run by you. J.J. Nelson is also a guy that can run by you. J.J.'s got to continue to try to develop and work on being dependable. You throw him the ball, right? You've got to be dependable. Dependable is dependable, as my old coach used to say in regard to a wide receiver running routes, meaning dependable is dependable. You've got to run the route first and be dependable to run it, and then you've got to be dependable in catching the ball if the quarterback throws it to you. So that's J.J. Nelson's charge right there. But again, Chad Williams, I've seen him make some nice plays, but he's also got some drops in there as well. He's got to continue to work on his confidence and his craft.
I mean, can you depend on a rookie at the position, period? Just because it's so complex, it's so demanding, and they have to make so many adjustments. I mean, the degree of difficulty.
Well, you don't need him to be the number one.
No.
And you don't need him to be the number two.
So do you think Chad Williams is squarely in the mix for playing time this year? That can they, into your equation there, can they count on a rookie out of Grambling?
They can't count on him now, no. But is he squarely in the mix? Yes. I think he's squarely in the mix to have the opportunity to prove that he can't be the number three receiver on this team. But are they counting on him to do that? I don't think so.
Quick word on the running back room. David Johnson's looked phenomenal, hasn't he?
Oh.
He's lighter. He's 223 pounds.
He gets better and better.
I mean,
every time I see him.
I love the way you react when he just catches the ball.
Oh.
You can't hear it.
You can't.
It just disappears.
No. It's like hitting two pillows.
It's just, if you're looking for
it's
other.
Like, it's like if his hands were covered with your hair. It just.
Chris Johnson, as I ignore that, all right, he is back. Elijah Penny dropped 15 pounds. He's now about 235, a big bruising back. A lot of players have told me, Wolf, keep an eye on number 35.
I agree.
And TJ Logan, right, the rookie, the speedster, man. When he gets in space.
Look out.
We predict he'll have a touchdown or two in the preseason. Hey, Arizona Cardinals single game tickets on sale now. Visit Ticketmaster.com or the Cardinals box office to select your seats. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the debut edition of the Big Red Rage. It is show number 350 in the history of the show.
Straight drop back for Ryan. Steps up, throws it near side, and another interception. This one by the Honey Badger. He's got it at the 40-yard line and tackled there. Three interceptions for Matt Ryan through the first six games. Three interceptions today. And the Cardinals have it again, leading 24-6.
Honey power activates. Form of a badger.
Oh, that was a great call and a great moment in time for Tyrann Mathieu. You think of that 2015 season, how close he was to being the NFL Defensive Player of the Year. You know, Carson Palmer called John Brown the X-Factor on offense. Wolf,
yes.
Can we call Tyrann Mathieu the X-Factor on defense?
Yes, without a doubt to me. I mean, once again, he's a guy that even now, even with surgeries on both knees, James Betcher can still move him around the box. He can play low, he can play high, he can play out in the slot, and I expect to see James Betcher move him around with a Badger, match him up on a lot of different players. That's the incredible thing about it. Here he is, the smallest guy on the field, yet he might be the Cardinals' best open field tackler on the team. Even now, even still, you can match him up against a guy like Julian Edelman, who is the ultimate scat back coming out, right, the slot receiver. And yet you can also put him over a tight end and let him guard the tight end, and yet he continues to do that.
He's so versatile. He's so many players in one. And really, he has two names. He's Tyrann Mathieu, and then he's the Badger. And he's always at his best when he is the Badger. It is all about you, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. And Bruce Arians was asked about Tyrann Mathieu and how close he is to being the Badger.
He's getting there. Yeah, it's coming. And I'd like to see a couple more interceptions in practice and him slamming the ball on the ground and talking crap. So I'd like to see a little more of that. I mean, you can't talk crap unless you make plays. But he's close.
Maybe Tyrann heard that because, you know what, he made a couple of plays today, including one big interception. So that was great to see.
Yes.
And, in fact, Tyrann was asked recently on his patience and, you know, whether it's been tough, whether it's been tested.
Well, I've had to be, you know, over the past couple of years, I had to be extremely patient, which is not really my forte. But I guess I'm becoming a patient guy.
You know what? He's well-served when he is a little more patient, isn't he, in the secondary, especially when he plays deep center field. You know, he can stay a little more patient.
He has a hard time doing that.
He does.
When you put him in the middle of the field, especially in the middle of the field high, he has a hard time remaining patient. He's got great instincts. And that's the reason why you've got to put him down in low around the box, just the way the Pittsburgh Steelers used to do. Dick LeBeau, right, with Troy Polamalu, used to carry him down low and move him around the box, whether in the middle or outside, and let him use those instincts and play robber underneath, right? Man across the board, you rush for, you got a free safety in the middle of the field, back about 15, 20 yards, and then you got the robber in the middle of the field that is looking for any type of crossing route to jump, or he's spying the quarterback, or he's looking for a draw, or he's watching the play develop and using his instincts. That's where I think the Badger can be used, and I think that's where Betcher will use him.
That's exactly what Patrick Peterson said a couple hours ago, and I had a chance to talk to him, and he said, you know, and really in the slot at times is, you
know, in the slot
he's
too.
At his best, because, you know, whether it's in coverage on the inside and using his instincts to jump routes or coming off the edge and blitzing. I mean, there have been drills out here where he hasn't been touched by guys trying to pick him up on a blitz. So if you're telling us that Tyrann Mathieu is back as the Badger, if John Brown is back, that is going to go a long way towards determining whether the Arizona Cardinals are back as a playoff team in 2017. No doubt about that. Well, we do know the Big Red Rage is back, and it's an absolute pleasure to have Carlos Dansby on board this season. And I can tell you this much, Wolf, when you look at this Cardinals defense and having lost five defensive starters, a lot of people nationally counting this team out, just automatically expecting the defense to fall out of the top 10.
Well, you know what, Paulie? When you disappoint the way the Arizona Cardinals disappointed last year and you have the kind of down year they had following an NFC appearance, right, in an NFC championship game, I should say, you know what? You're going to get that. And then you lose Calais Campbell and Tony Jefferson. There's no doubt about it. You're gonna get these prognosticators, pontificators. They're going to look at you and say, how could you possibly get better? You were 7-8-1 last year, and now all of a sudden you lost your two best defensive players and five starters on the defensive side, which was a top 10 defense. How can you possibly be better? So there's a lot of proving it that's got to happen. And I think that's a good thing for this team.
And if guys don't, there'll be a different player in camp. Already, we've seen the Cardinals meet with a couple of veteran cornerbacks. There's no doubt they're going to keep churning the roster and looking for guys who can get it done. They realize right now, you know what? I think the motto this year should be, we don't do windows. Is it, you know what? We're just going for this thing. Special thanks, Jim Omohundro, Eric Cohen, Jordan Bird. It is the Big Red Rage with Carlos Dansby, and it is back, all presented by Santan Ford.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
One, two, three, let's go!
And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944. Visit us online at hickmanseggs.com.
Woo! What's up, what?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.